Truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the weather report of free speech, because you never know what to expect. And especially if you listen to the weather report, you really don't know what to expect. Because they have a reputation. Of course, their reputation is based on, 20th century pre-satellite era, when nobody knew what the heck was going on. Can you imagine not just before satellites, but before telecommunications, before the telegraph even? Nobody would have known what to expect. You didn't know what the weather was like 100 or 200 miles downwind. How are you going to know that? And I don't know what that has to do with anything, but go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. Okay, hey, guess what? This is a Boomer Vision, and you got a lot of Boomer Visions coming up this week, because I've been busy, and when I get busy, it makes it hard for me to set things up with guests. And usually I'll have guests, and we'll talk. We talk story. That's what you call it. It's talking story. I was gonna try to get David Duke to do the show today. It's in the evening, and I called him up. It's Sunday evening. I called him up, and he was in the middle of a Dave and Dr. Duke show with Dave Gahari, which he does on Sunday nights, which is actually it's a good format, because Dave Gahari runs the show and they take callers. I don't know if they take super chats, but they take callers. And if you want to talk to Dr. Duke, that's what you do. And it is on Free Speech Radio. And a lot of RBN shows wind up on Free Speech Radio, too. So look, you can look for it there. It's a good show, and you can talk to David live. I called up in the middle of the show. I had no idea, because I forgot. And the whole idea was he doesn't like to do shows at night, because he wakes up at 4 in the morning and starts reading stuff. And so by the time it gets to be twilight time, he doesn't feel... dignified and inspiring and prepared and all these things. He wants to sound like that for his show, at least the dignified and inspiring part. he likes to be that for his show. And I'm like, no, not on my show. We don't need any of that. Not dignity. Forget that. No, not inspiring. Prepared. I'm afraid not. So come on, dog. What's the matter with you? What's a big idea? So I was going to try to drag him on, but he's otherwise occupied. So anyway, it's just us. And because I'm busy this week, I've already recorded two other shows for later in the week, which I shouldn't say don't have preparation. It's a little bit of stream of consciousness, because I'm just walking around talking, but it was things that, like, I had a concept for the show, and I had a mental outline. This one, not so much. This one, not so much. This one's going to be a bit of a hodgepodge, but that's okay. And the first thing is, okay, so the first thing is Rahm Emanuel. Now, why is it that the moment I'm about to talk about Rahm Emanuel, my dog needs to defecate? Why is that? I don't know. It's just some sort of cosmic thing. But that's what happens. So Rahm Emanuel's been in the news, but not in America. He's been in the news in Japan. Why? Why? Because he's the U.S. ambassador to Japan. Why would the United States send an Israeli to be their ambassador to Japan? Right? Did you ever think of that? I mean, okay, I know he's got dual citizenship. And a lot of people will say, oh, I heard, not that she's, this is her area of expertise, but Catherine Austin Fitz talked about somebody saying, oh, well, yeah, 20% of the Congress is dual citizens. 20% of the Congress isn't even Jewish, right? They're not even Jewish. And just because somebody's Jewish doesn't mean they're a dual citizen. Right? It doesn't. But it may, I mean, they may have dual loyalty. You can have dual loyalty or singular loyalty without being a dual citizen. But in the case of Rahm Emanuel, it's very, very clear because, and I might have some aspect of the law just like not 100% accurate, but basically this is it. Under Israeli law, if you're one of your parents is an Israeli, you are, it's like you're considered a citizen no matter what. But the thing is, and if you're going to enter Israel, and I guess if you're entitled to automatic citizenship, because American Jews, like, you know, just Woody Allen or whatever, an American Jew can apply for U.S. citizenship and get it. In fact, you don't even have to be a Jew. You just have to have one Jewish grandfather or grandmother. Just one Jewish grandparent will allow you to apply for Israeli citizenship, and normally you would get it. But you do have to apply for it. And you know, you can visit Israel. There's no problem with that. You can visit Israel as an American. Woody Allen can visit Israel as an American. He doesn't need Israeli citizenship to. And, you know, if you're an American and you've got a, let's just say a Jewish father and a Goyish grandmother, I mean a Goyish mother, you can get the Israeli citizenship, but you're not going to be considered a Jew because the citizenship laws are under the purview of the Orthodox rabbinate, and they want to follow halakhic law. So you've got that, you know, the Jewishness comes through the mother. Sorry, Goy. But here's the thing, and this is getting back to Rahm Emanuel. If you are the child of an Israeli citizen, if you're the child of an Israeli citizen, you get Israeli citizenship automatically. And if you enter Israel and you're an Israeli citizen, you have to enter with an Israeli passport. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I'm very, very, you know, I never want to say 100%, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. And if it's not that, it's something very, very similar to that. So we know Rahm Emanuel's father was an Israeli citizen. He was a famous terrorist for the Irgun, which was an anti-British terrorist organization that bombed the King David Hotel, which was the British headquarters, the governmental headquarters when Palestine was ruled under a League of Nations mandate after World War I and continuing after World War II. So he was definitely an Israeli. We know Rahm Emanuel's been to Israel because during the first Gulf War, he volunteered to be a mechanic for the Israeli military. I believe that's a civilian position. A lot of people say he was in the Israeli army. I don't think he was inducted into the army. I could be wrong, but I don't think that was the deal. I knew somebody, an American Jew, who, not during that war, but sometime in the 80s or 90s, went over to as a mechanic to work on military jeeps and whatnot. And you know, that was something that was done. It doesn't mean you're in the military, but you're helping the war effort, right? Or you're helping the military. You're a volunteer for the military without being inducted into it. That was Rahm Emanuel. So we know he's been there, and we know he qualified for that automatic citizenship. So he must have entered as an Israeli citizen. I don't know to what extent it's possible for them to renounce Israeli citizenship or something, but come on, Rahm Emanuel renouncing Israeli citizenship. So, okay, so he's an Israeli. And there's a few other people that you can say that about. Another one would be Michael Chertoff, who was the Homeland Security. I think he was the second Secretary of Homeland Security. The first one was Tom Ridge during the post was created following 9/11, and he had been governor of Pennsylvania, then he was Homeland Security Secretary. Then after he left, Michael Chertoff came in. Michael Chertoff, we want to hear David Duke talk about Michael Chertoff at some point, because David Duke has some experience with Michael Chertoff. But that will have to be for when I actually get him on the show. At any rate, Michael Chertoff's mother was a... What organization was it? Was she with the Mossad or the predecessor of Mossad? She was a spy. She was also the first... Somehow, I don't know how you have a first stewardess, but she was the first stewardess for El Al Airlines, the Israeli Airlines. Maybe she was hot. I don't know. I never saw a picture of her. Like, looking at Michael Chertoff, that's kind of hard to believe. But, I mean, if you're going to have a first stewardess for your airline, you would think you'd get somebody hot. I would think so. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just saying. And so he would be entitled to that automatic citizenship. And I can't remember exactly what the occasion was. I know for an absolute fact he's been to Israel, which is no surprise. I think I saw some news coverage of a conference he'd gone to in Israel or whatever. I know he's been in Israel. So that's another one. But you'll hear other people referred to as dual citizens, strictly because they're Jews, and that's not the case. Anywho, so Rahm Emanuel is our ambassador to Japan. So why are the Japanese up in arms? The right-winger Japanese, the self-described right-wingers, the conservatives, why are they up in arms about Rahm Emanuel? All right, well, Rahm Emanuel, and by the way, I have it on good authority that, like at diplomatic parties, Rahm Emanuel, like, nobody wants to talk to him. He seems kind of weird and nobody wants to talk to him. That's what the Japanese say. So, but this is the thing. Within the past couple of weeks, I saw this. I think Mark Dankoff sent me this article. Within the past couple of weeks, there was some sort of demonstration in Tokyo in favor of gay marriage. Now, Japan is the only country in the G7 that doesn't have gay marriage. And they're pushing for it. I mean, the gays are pushing for it. The only Asian country that has it at this point is Taiwan. No one else has it, as far as I know, unless there's some obscure place. But no one else has it except for Taiwan. But they are pushing this in Japan. They're pushing for it. And so there was a demonstration, and Rahm Emanuel spoke at it. Now, he spoke in English, but he was saying that, you know, Japan's the only G7 country not to have it. And he said, where I come from, love means love. And so a lot of the Japanese are saying, look, this is not the role of an American ambassador to tell the Japanese what to do about their social policy. It's not none of your business. And so there are, you know, prominent people who are saying that the Japanese foreign ministry should summon Emanuel, because this is what you do, okay? If a country doesn't do something that you approve of, or if the ambassador doesn't do something you approve of, you summon the ambassador. And demand an explanation or whatever. And, you know, they could remove his credentials and then he couldn't be the ambassador. Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be the ambassador to Japan, Japan has to accept him as the ambassador. That's part of it. There is a independent journalist, we'll call her. And I've mentioned her before. Her name is Masako Ganaha, and she's from Okinawa. I've mentioned her because in the context of the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, she did a very good analysis of it. And she does YouTube, and she speaks English reasonably well. And so she's known for that. She did a good job covering January 6th, not just for Japanese, but like I said, there was a interview she did, was it for a Polish journalist? I don't know. But she's done some stuff in English. She speaks English well enough. She's done some stuff. She has also done good stuff on the border crisis. Now, there is a, I think he's a late boomer. What is his name? Oh, gosh. His nickname is Bam Bam because when he was in the army, he was really short, but he was really violent, like Bam Bam from the Flintstones. You remember, like Barney and Betty Rubble's adopted kid? So Bam Bam. So this guy, I'll get his name. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, his name's Michael Yon. I'm not recommending Google, but it's funny. You just write Bam Bam independent journalist, and the first thing that comes up is Michael Yon. Michael Yon, born 1964, so he is a tail-end boomer, kind of on the cusp. She went to the American border, the Rio Grande Valley. No, not the Rio Grande Valley. She went to Panama with Michael Yon and followed around. She actually followed these random third worlders from Africa and Nepal and Pakistan and Bolivia or Peru. And they would fly into Colombia or wherever, somewhere in South America, go up to Panama, and then get on like the Pan American Highway. But the Pan American Highway has a gap in it. There's some really, really bad jungle in Panama, and people have to walk through some jungle. And I don't know if she actually walked through the jungle because it's really dangerous. But she was on at the staging area right before they go into the jungle in Panama, and then maybe she and Michael Yon flew to Costa Rica on the other side of it and caught up with them. But she was following them around. But just Michael Yon, okay, he is an American writer and photographer. He served in the Special Forces in the early 1980s and became a writer in the mid-1990s. He focused on military writing after the Iraq invasion. Yon has been embedded on numerous occasions with American and British troops in Iraq. And, you know, these embedded reporters, they were just selling a bunch of lies. They were horrible, okay? Yon has had vocal feuds with United States military hierarchy, and the nature of his reports is also controversial. However, at one time, he enjoyed rock star status among individual soldiers, according to Brian Williams of NBC News. And Brian Williams would never lie, you know that. Yon's alternative media reporting has been mentioned by numerous mainstream agencies, and he has won accolades, blah, blah, blah. The New York Times said that he spent more time embedded with combat troops than any other journalist. All right, so that's not really... That's not really saying anything good about him. This is kind of a sidetrack, but this is the show that you're getting today. Yon grew up in Winter Haven, Florida, where he essentially raised himself. I wonder where this information comes from. I'm getting this from Wikipedia.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Is history about to repeat itself again? I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. Three banks have failed in as many weeks. A fourth regional bank saw a stock plummet Wednesday night after news that they were looking to sell. Biden says that no taxpayer money will be used to save these banks. But what Biden fails to acknowledge is that all money is taxpayer money. Sure, the FDIC is funded by payments from the banks, but the banks get that money from their customers, taxpayers. In 1930, the United States was in a recession, not unlike today. Then banks began to fail. Then there was a run on the banks and the Great Depression began. With the fractional reserve banking system that we have today, if even 5% of us took everything out of the banks, the system would crash, just like in November 1930. Keep that in mind when the next bank failure hits the headlines. And use code Lighthouse at protectwithbear.com to protect your legal rights as a gun owner and get free access to training videos. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Peshem, Parabellum.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Saying anything good about him. This is kind of a sidetrack, but this is the show that you're getting today. Jan grew up in Winter Haven, Florida, where he essentially raised himself. I wonder where this information comes from. I'm getting this from Wikipedia. It's a deep dive into Wikipedia. As a child and a young adult, he was a prankster who got in trouble for, among other things, making homemade bombs. Other children bullied him repeatedly through his childhood, particularly because of his short stature. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Because of his light blonde hair, short stature, and physical boastfulness, other soldiers nicknamed him Bam Bam after the Flintstones character. He killed a man in a barroom fight in Ocean City, Maryland in the 1980s. Criminal charges were filed but later dropped. Okay, so this is Michael Jan. Anyway, I'm not going to go too much more, but I'm familiar with him because he would come on the John Batchelor show. I used to listen to the John Batchelor show from around like 2013 or 2014. When Ukraine started coming down, you started having a lot of stuff coming down in Ukraine in 2013, which then became the coup. And John Batchelor would have Stephen F. Cohen on. And so I'd listen to Stephen F. Cohen. But, you know, some weeks Stephen F. Cohen, because he had a busy schedule or because he was sick or whatever, sometimes Stephen F. Cohen wasn't on. And from time to time, I would hear Michael Jan, because John Bassler had, like, his show. John Bassler was a good interviewer, but his guest list was awful. He had Stephen F. Cohen, who I really liked, and maybe the only reason he had him on was because Stephen F. Cohen was Jewish. And I asked Stephen F. Cohen about that. I said, well, he's got on all these horrible neocons all the time. And he just kind of like shrugged and said something like, well, you know, what he does on his time is his business. But, which is the same thing he said about me being on, going on David Duke's show. But at any rate, he'd have all these horrible people on. And, I frankly, Bam Bam was one of them. Michael Young was one of them. And he was always interviewing him. And Michael Young is based, isn't based in Bangkok or based in Chiang Mai, but he's based in Thailand. And what the hell is he doing in Thailand? You know, I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of people who go to Thailand for creepy stuff, right? For the sex industry, for little girls or little boys or whatever. And I don't know. I'm just saying that's a fact. And it's also a fact that Michael Yon's there. I don't know if you can put two and two together or whatever. But at any rate, I'm not a Michael Yon fan. But he did go with Masako Ganaha to Central America and reported on the border. And they did good reporting. It was really good. And so you might know Masako Ganaha from that. Then otherwise, she somehow became a fan and an acquaintance of Candace Owens, you know, for whatever it's worth, and translated Candace Owens' book. I don't know what was the book about, like leaving the Democratic plantation or something like that. And she translated it into Japanese. And I've heard her talk about Candace Owens and that book and just thought it was so great. So that's where she's at. That's where her head is at. And like, she's all right. She's all right. But this is the thing. Who in Japan actually really understands what's going on? They're not very good at English. Masako Ganaha is okay. I mean, she can go and talk to people. I mean, she's conversant. And she, for the most part, seems to understand what people are saying to her. But you know, and, which is better than most of the mainstream people. Because for instance, I'd go to Trump rallies, and these mainstream people who are covering the Trump rallies, mainstream people from their networks or their major newspapers, don't seem to speak English. So they don't know what the heck's going on. But at any rate, so a lot of the so-called right-wingers are up in arms about Rahm Emanuel pushing gay marriage. And rightly so. Now, I say so-called right-wingers because what are the positions of the so-called right-wing in Japan? Well, I'd say probably pretty much Tucker Carlson level. They're really anti-China. And why are they anti-China? There are some... I think consider trivial, but at least factual reasons. Chinese, there aren't that many Chinese in Japan right now. There were a lot more before the COVID. And the thing is, they talk loud on the subway or on the train. So talk loud, and they're kind of
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
When there aren't that many Chinese in Japan right now, there were a lot more before the COVID. And the thing is, they talk loud on the subway or on the trains. They'll talk loud, and they're kind of nouveau riche, right? The ones who come over, so they flash around a lot of money, and like they talk loud and they'll talk on the cell phone and things that the Japanese wouldn't do, and that's true. It's pretty insignificant. And of course they were buying stuff, right? They were buying businesses and buying land. Well, you know, this is exactly the Japanese, when the Japanese economy was so strong in the 1980s. When it was so strong in the 1980s, this is what they were doing. They were buying up everything in America. And there was a lot of controversy about that. So the Chinese got a lot of money now, and they're buying things. And it's just amazing to me how, the Japanese would talk about they're buying farmland, and they're buying farmland near military bases, and as if they're going to set up military bases on the farmland. And I said, you do realize there's a difference between property ownership and sovereignty, right? You can own property. That doesn't mean you have the right to make laws that govern that property, right? I mean, I own my house. That doesn't mean I can legalize murder on my property, right? doesn't mean I can lease my property out for a Chinese military base as much as I would like to. It doesn't mean that. And I explain that, and people are like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. But why should they be saying, oh, yeah, I guess you're right? That it's so obvious. And, you know, they're getting their knickers in a bunch over this type of thing. And I'm like, okay, so they talk loud and they're buying property. And oh, well, they're worried about the military. I said, okay, well, the only reason that China would be targeted that Japan would be targeted by the Japanese military is because Japan hosts dozens of U.S. military bases which have nuclear weapons aimed at China, right? I mean, they're not. If China was going to strike Japan, they wouldn't be striking Tokyo. They'd be striking the American military bases, which are in populated areas. They should get rid of these military bases. But it's not like they view Japan and its elderly citizens, and they're getting really old. It's not like they view Japan as a threat. It's not even as if they view the Japanese military as a threat. It's the American military is there, and it is threatening. And it's threatening to the Chinese. It's threatening to the North Koreans. And so to the extent that Japan is having trouble with these countries and viewing them as being threatening to Japan, well, why is that? And why, like, if you're, they think of themselves as nationalists. And I always considered Prime Minister Abe, who was assassinated last year. He was an ex-prime minister at the time, but he'd been prime minister longer than any prime minister since World War II. Was he prime minister? I think, like, in the early 20th century, there might have been somebody longer than him. I can't remember, but he's, you know, certainly the longest-serving prime minister of the past 100 years, and he was assassinated. But he tried to sell himself as a nationalist by having anti-Chinese and anti-North Korean rhetoric. Well, look, who's occupying your country? I mean, you're worried about the Chinese military, which is 1,000 miles away. Meanwhile, you've got the American military with bases all over the place, raping your little girls, because I'm sorry, especially in Okinawa, where Masako Ganaha is from. In Okinawa, they're always, and, you know, it's typically the non-white soldiers, the non-white Marines, but they go out and they rape girls. They do it. It happens way too often. And so, and the Chinese aren't doing this. So, the whole thing's bizarre. And the Japanese prime ministers, they love to get their photo ops with American presidents. They just love that. And their current guy, Kishida, he was a former foreign minister. He was a former defense minister. And I'm sure he speaks a certain amount of English. Probably not all that well, though. And he just loves being at these G7s. And, you know, he's with all the round eyes, and you know, they're putting on the funny shirts. They like to do that. They like to put on funny shirts at the G7 meetings, and yeah, he just loves that, and wants to be all nationalist by standing strong with his American allies against the Chinese and the North Koreans. Well, where's the problems coming from? Is North Korea over there saying you gotta do gay marriage? You got the American ambassador doing this. So somebody really needs to go over and wake up the Japanese, because they're on the wrong side. They are tied to a rotting corpse. You know, the Etruscans who lived in the Italian peninsula before the Romans and during the Romans, the Etruscans, and they spoke a language. It's not an Indo-European language. They used an alphabet, and the alphabet that we use was the Etruscan alphabet. The Roman alphabet came from Etruscan. The Etruscans, did they get it directly from the Phoenicians, or did they get it from the Greeks? I don't know, but the Roman alphabet's basically the Etruscan alphabet. At any rate, the Etruscans one of the ways they used to execute people was by tying them to a corpse. Tie them to a corpse. And that will kill you. That's a horrible way to die. Well, that's what Japan is. Japan is tied to a corpse. I'm sorry. Right now, the American America is a rotting corpse. I'm sorry, but it is. And they're tied to it. And, you know, they're on the wrong side of this Ukraine stuff. And, like it or not, they're going to get sucked into gay marriage. They're getting sucked into mass immigration. The immigration's there. It's the level that ours was in the 1970s. But look how fast it picks up. And they're under all this pressure. And somebody's got to go over there and tell them to wake up and smell coffee. Because the thing is, the world is increasingly dividing into two camps. One camp is team civilization, and the other camp is team degeneracy. One is ruled by serious people, the other is ruled by Jews. And, you know, this is what we have. You've got the United States, the NATO countries, unfortunately, Japan and South Korea, maybe the Philippines. You know, it's hard to know for a while. Duterte seemed like he might be a little bit serious, but I don't know what's going on there now. Chlamydia was over there talking to Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos, is, I guess that would be their grandkid, who's president now. And she was like, talking to him like such an imbecile. She was just saying, you know how she talks. She just, it's word salad, if there ever was word salad. And saying that our two countries are continuing to go about the pursuit of what they continue to aspire to be. And just weird stuff. And he had to stand there acting as if she wasn't retarded, which is tough. I'll give him credit. But anyway, so that is team. That's the Jew side. That is team Jew. And then you got team civilization, and it's China, it's Russia. And believe me, I don't take pleasure in saying this. It's North Korea. Andrew Anglin will call them. He calls them best Korea. But when Kim Jong Un's sister, she made a statement recently. What was it? I can't remember what it was. It might have been like threatening to wipe out American military bases or something. It was some really provocative threat. Although completely justified. And in the headline of Andrew Anglin's article, he referred to it as best Korea ever. And, you know, I'm laughing because one of the first academic papers I ever wrote was on the North Korean secession issue. It was when Kim Il-sung, the grandfather of the current leader, the great leader, Kim Il-sung, was he was getting elderly, and he had set up his own son, Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un, as his successor. And I didn't think it could happen. And I wrote a paper where I was talking about all the atrocities that go on in North Korea. There's, you know, the economy, it's probably the last genuine communist economy on Earth. I don't know. Not sure about Cuba. Maybe Cuba still has a lot of central planning, but North Korea's got the central planning, the state ownership of the means of production. And so I think it's probably the best example left on Earth of a genuine communist economy, which there's problems with it. I'm pretty sure that Kim Jong-un wants to be the Deng Xiaoping of China, that he wants to enact economic reforms and have a Chinese-style economic miracle for North Korea. But in order to do so, in order to kind of let up the economic reins, I think he feels he needs certain security guarantees, which he was on the verge of getting from Donald Trump. But Donald Trump, at the end, was unable to rein in his own underlings. But at any rate, yeah, I mean, I'm fully aware of all sorts of abuses and bad things that go on in North Korea. But the one thing that is undeniable, if you're comparing the North Korean system to the American system, is that the North Korean people will survive the Kim dynasty, or even the Kim dynasty will adapt, and but the North Korean people are surviving. The North Korean people are not at threat of genocide. They're not at threat of replacement. Can you say that for the American people? When Kim Il-sung became leader of North Korea in 1948, the United States was probably about 89% white, maybe 87-88% white, and we're being replaced, and to the extent we're still here, we're increasingly despised. Who was it? Somebody was telling me today about going on AI and asking whether whether it's okay to be white, something like that. Or, no, is it okay to be proud of being white? And the AI, I think it was Microsoft's AI, said, oh, you, it's not good to think like that. Let's change the subject. Whereas then he went on and said, is it okay to be proud of being black? Oh, yes, it's very healthy to have a pride in your heritage. And, you know, that's where we're at right now. And so, anyway, best Korea ever. The South Koreans, they have immigration into South Korea, but most of the immigration has been ethnic Koreans from the former Soviet Union and, you know, other diaspora populations. But it's coming. Anywho, let's see, we got a few minutes left. So Team Civilization versus Team Jew. You could say it like that. You could say, I haven't quite decided whether I'm going with Team Civilization versus Team Jew or Team Civilization versus Team Degeneracy. With the Team Civilization being run by serious people and Team Degeneracy being run by Jews. I'm not sure which is how is the best way to phrase it, but I'm working on it. And then Iran. I mean, it's not like I have rose-colored glasses about what goes on in other countries. It's not as if I really think that North Korea is paradise on earth the way they say they are, or, you know, Iran or North Korea or Belarus or China. I know they all have their problems. They all have their issues. But those people, for the most part, are not being replaced, and they're not inflicting all sorts of degeneracy on their population, and our societies are just undergoing suicide. I mean, just suicide. So, one more thing before we wrap it up. So, Elon Musk, now he runs Twitter, and it's kind of wondering, did he get Twitter just so he'd have his own captive audience and he couldn't get kicked off? Here's what's going on with Elon Musk and Twitter. And I think this is an interesting development. So, I'm not on Twitter. I barely know how it works. I think I might have set up a Twitter account once, and it got canceled within 48 hours or something. I think I've done one tweet or two tweets. Whatever. It didn't work for me. So I don't know anything about it. That would have been years and years ago. I barely knew what Twitter was, and maybe I was doing something with Instagram or something else. So I don't even know. You've probably heard, you know, so-and-so has so many followers. And so having, you know, some people might have 10 million followers, or did Donald Trump have 40 million or 80 million followers? So you get all these followers. Well, that's one metric, but it's actually not the best metric. The best metric seems to be what do they call it, interactions. So if you do a tweet, it's out there, and supposedly your followers can see it. But a lot of the followers aren't actually humans. This is one of the things. Everybody knew this. People knew about this already. But what really came to light was the extent of it when Elon Musk tried to buy Twitter. And, you know, of course, Twitter, its revenues come largely from advertising. And advertisers are willing to pay based on how many people they think are going to be seeing their advertisements, right? Makes sense. And a lot of the Twitter accounts...
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Largely from advertising, and advertisers are willing to pay based on how many people they think are going to be seeing their advertisements, right? Makes sense. And a lot of the Twitter accounts, an awful lot of the Twitter accounts, are bots. They're not actual humans. They're just, they got set up, maybe they got set up through some sort of automated process, And I guess there's ways, like if you want to make, if you want to seem like you're a big deal, you're a celebrity, a blue check, and you want to seem like a big deal, I think you can actually pay to get a whole bunch of followers, but they're not actual followers. So they're not actual people. So it'll say, you know, you've got 100,000 followers or 2 million followers, but it turned out that an awful lot of these followers weren't even real. And so if you do a tweet, there's various things that can, like real humans can respond to it by liking it or not liking it or writing comments or retweeting it or things like that. And what is that called? Is that called interactions? You see, I don't even know that much. I think it's called interactions. And Elon Musk, I don't know if he has, like for instance, so Donald Trump had a really big Twitter account, but people would say, oh, but Barack Obama actually has more followers. But of course, people weren't interacting with Barack Obama. A lot were bots. And then to the extent they weren't bots, they might have been real humans. But apparently when you sign up for Twitter, you have to, part of the sign up process is you have to follow, a few people. You have to follow people from the get-go. And during the sign up process, they suggest people you might want to follow. And so there are people like Barack Obama or Jimmy Fallon or other people who are just part of that list, you might want to follow these people. And so Barack Obama doesn't get any interaction. There's not really any interaction. Well, and Trump got a whole lot. But right now the most interacted person is Elon Musk. Elon Musk has a huge number of followers, but these followers are actually paying attention to what he's tweeting out. And they are not just paying attention to it, they're responding to it, they are retweeting it and things like that. So this is the last thing I'm talking about today. Over the past few days, there have been all of these people who are tweeting about black crime, right? Black crime data, just like FBI data, Justice Department data, all sorts of things about black crime. And one after another, Elon Musk is retweeting them with the phrase, interesting. That's all, interesting. But by doing this, by simply retweeting something with interesting, then he, like several tens of millions of his people actually are seeing this. So he's, right now, Elon Musk is in the process of propagating a huge amount of very important information about black crime. And, okay, so that for us, that might seem kind of low tier. Will he ever start saying it's interesting that six out of the seven most important cabinet posts in the Biden administration are held by Jews? Will he do that? Because I think that's actually very interesting. But we'll see. At any rate, thank you for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.